Well, I made it a week, and Father Dave hasn't kicked me out, and the choir hasn't kicked me out either for all the crazy singing I do at Mass, so thanks to them and Father Dave, and especially for your beautiful music, that you help us worship our Lord in spirit and truth, and it's a very beautiful thing that you do. So thank you for your commitment and dedication. And also to everyone else who is here this Sunday, it's good to see a full church. And thank you for making the sacrifice to be with our Lord. You make his sacred heart very happy. And just one little advertisement. On the website, under the liturgy section, if you want to listen to the homily that you missed, because either I was preaching or Father Dave was preaching, you can go up there and listen to it. It's archived. So if you want something to knock your socks off, you can listen to Father Dave's homily. And if you want something to lull you to sleep, you can put mine up, and I'm sure it'll be effective. Thanks for your patience. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In the name of the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, amen. When we hear St. Paul say that, I rejoice in my sufferings, how does that strike you? Is it like, wow, you know, I woke up early this morning and it was kind of tough. I wanted to hit the snooze button and I wasn't exactly rejoicing. Or what you experience in your daily life, whether it's health, suffering, relationships with other people, financial struggles, whatever it may be, do you rejoice in your suffering? And what do you do with that? It's something that confronts us all. Maybe what we have most in common in this room, besides the most important spiritual goods, is the fact that we all suffer. And suffer is a consequence of sin. Thanks to our mother and father, Adam and Eve, the great family that we belong to, we're born slaves of the devil. And by baptism, we're made slaves of God, true slaves, who enjoy his freedom and are his beloved sons and daughters. What do we do with suffering, with evil? It may even make us think, how could God be good when he allows wars, when he allows suffering? How could he be all-powerful, the fact that this still happens? These are profound questions that we need to come to terms with in our own lives, because it makes all the difference in our lives. And thanks be to God, we're not left to our own devices. We have the saints who show us the way to get to heaven. We're not left alone. And today, I want to share with you Saint Maximilian Kolbe. He died 78 years ago. Next month, August. And at this time, 78 years ago, he was in a concentration camp with no food for 2 weeks, no light, no water. He was a priest, and his sanctuary became a prison cell with his brethren, with Jews who he called his brother, with the Jews that he worked so hard to save from the Nazis who wanted to snuff them out. And what can we learn from St. Maximilian Kolbe? Well, in 1906, something incredible happened that changed the path of his life forever. He was a 12-year-old little boy. And what happened? The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to him, and he recounts what she said to him. He said, "That night I asked the Mother of God what was to become of me. Then she came to me holding two crowns, the one white, the other red. She asked me if I was willing to accept either of these crowns. The white one meant that I should persevere in purity, and the red meant that I should become a martyr. I said I would accept them both." What 12-year-old who has an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary wouldn't just say, "Yes, I want it all. I want to give my life for something great." And that's what he did. And part of it, him living out his call to holiness, was that he was called to be a priest. He and his brother became Franciscan friars, and they started this amazing apostolate, consecrating people in the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the one who forms Christ in us. When we give ourselves to Mary, she forms Christ in our hearts. And things were going great. He had new foundations in Japan, all over the place. The apostolate was flourishing. And then what happens? Then World War II broke out. And they didn't like what he was saying, because he was talking about the evils of war, the evils of communism, the evils of masonry, and how this steals people's souls away from God. And he loved them so much that he would stop at nothing to preach the truth. And as he was preparing to become a priest, he went on retreat, and he was trembling at the thought of being a priest, of saying the Holy Mass, of pronouncing the words of consecration, which he said is greater than the whole act of the creation of the world. When a priest says the words of Christ in the body and blood of God made man becomes present on our altar, and he remains with us in the tabernacle. What an amazing thing. It makes me tremble too when I think about it. So he was ordained a priest, and then things came to a screeching halt. On February 17th, 1941, his monastery was shut down. He was arrested by the German Gestapo, and eventually he was sent to Auschwitz, a concentration camp in Poland. His number was 16670. They wouldn't even call him by his name. But he was a priest of God. And he would give his food to those who were hungry. He would console them. He would hear their confessions in a way that he wouldn't get caught, so their sins could be forgiven. He gave last rites to people who were going to go to a death chamber. And he was a priest to the end. There was one day that a prisoner escaped from his block. And when a prisoner escaped, what they would do is they would make everybody stand outside in the scorching heat for hours on end, and they would take attendance, and then they would make them wait. And they selected 10 men who were going to die unless they gave up who it was that escaped. And when they came to a particular man, Francis, I don't know how to say his last name because he's Polish and I love them, but I can't pronounce their language. But they called out his name to step forward to receive his death sentence. And he cried out, "My wife! My children! I can't go on without them. They need a father." And what happened? Saint Maximilian Kolbe steps forward and he says, "I am a Catholic priest. Take me." What a beautiful thing. A priest is called to lay down his life for his flock, just as our Lord did on the cross. And Saint Maximilian was faithful to the end. He laid down his life for someone he didn't even know. And Saint Maximilian Kolbe consoled them for 2 weeks in the worst of conditions. And after 2 weeks, everybody was dead. And the guards came in and they saw him kneeling there with his hands folded in prayer, at peace, at complete peace. Can you imagine that? Someone who's experiencing some of the worst suffering anybody could experience, and they're completely at peace. He was rejoicing in his sufferings, as St. Paul said. And he did it because he gave his life for his people, just as his Lord did. He made something out of suffering. Soon to be blessed Archbishop Fulton Sheen from Peoria, Illinois, who you might know or have heard of him, he said, "One of the greatest tragedies in our society today is wasted suffering. Suffering does not have a meaning. It seems like it does not have a meaning, but Christ came to show us that it does have a meaning." And St. Maximilian, who was a priest, who said the Holy Mass when he could, knew exactly what to do with that suffering. And he gives us a practical, very practical thing to do with our suffering. And it comes from the offertory of the Mass. It's that part right after we say the Creed. And the priest holds up the paten, and he says a prayer in silence. Now, St. Maximilian Kolbe said the Latin Mass, which was said up until 1968, and it's still said today, but it has a little bit different prayer at the offertory. But I'm almost done, don't worry. And I'm going to read it to you just so you can know how he lived the Mass in his life, how he made the Mass his means of offering his sufferings to God, and how it made him a great saint, and how it can make you and me great saints. So when he was holding up the paten with the bread on there, he also put himself on the paten spiritually in the same way that we can do with the priest at Mass. Unite yourselves to the priest prayer. We say that my sacrifice and yours, we're in this together. But the prayer goes, receive, O Holy Father, almighty eternal God, this spotless host, which I, thine unworthy servant, offer to thee, my living and true God, for my own countless sins, offenses and negligences, and for all here present, as also for all the faithful Christians living or dead, that it may be avail for my own and for their salvation unto life eternal. So the Mass is the privileged place where in our life the rubber hits the road for suffering. It's a great mystery. You know, I can't give you a textbook answer exactly of why it is, but there have to be mysteries in our life. We have to have faith, because if we don't have faith, we're not saved. So God gives us these mysteries, and he asks us to dive into them, to be like Mary who knelt at the foot of Jesus, who knelt at the foot of the cross and contemplated what Christ did. We're so blessed that pretty soon we're going to have an adoration chapel that you can come in any time of the day and kneel down before God in the tabernacle and give him your heart. Give him your sufferings. Give him all your desires and ask for his love. Ask for his mercy. Ask for his forgiveness. And he who is faithful will give it to you. This is an amazing consolation. The psalm said, he who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. That's fulfilled with us. King David did not have the Blessed Sacrament. We have God as our neighbor. You can drive down the street at any time and come visit the God of the universe in the tabernacle, in the adoration chapel. And lastly, at Holy Mass, we don't just live in the presence of God. Jesus lives in us when we receive Holy Communion. It's not a symbol. It's a reality. Faith is real. It's evidence of the things unseen, and it's the substance of what we hope for. We hope for Christ. We live for Christ. And we ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, whom St. Maximilian dedicated his whole life and priesthood to intercede for us and our families, that we can be faithful Christians in this world, and that we can make it to heaven, where we'll see God face to face, see our loved ones who have gone before us, and be in the company of the angels and saints. If you think their music is beautiful, it is, but you've not seen anything yet once we get to heaven. The beauty is out of this world. May Almighty God bless us all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.